Be in church. Amen. Hallelujah. I appreciate that. Amen. That's good singing. Thank God for it. Amen. I've enjoyed myself. I hope you've planned to be here every night. I've really had a good time. Amen. And I'm gonna try my best to make it every night. So we will be having camp meeting, our preacher's fellowship. Camp meeting at our place again in Alabama, and that'll be the third week of June. Beginning, we actually have Old Fashioned Day on Sunday the 18th, and then Monday the 19th we'll begin with an evening service, a supper at 5 o'clock, and then Tuesday morning through Friday morning, and then the nights as well, except Friday night. We will close out the service on Friday at lunchtime. Have a morning service on Friday and then feed you lunch. And so you can get back to your places if you want to. Now, we put out a letter some time back, but just to remind you, if you intend to come to camp meeting this year, we need to try to find out or hear from you at least by June the 1st. We just to make sure you get a room reserved. Doesn't cost you anything to come to camp meeting except gas to get there. And we'll put you up, take care of you, and feed you three times a day and probably four and five times. That's just the way we do it around there. So if you can make it, we'd love to have you come. And looking forward to camp meeting. We were unable to have it last year. Circumstances beyond our control. But thank the Lord, here we are again. And so we're going to have it, Lord willing, in June, and looking forward to that. And so you plan to come. We've already had several calls, folks reserving their rooms. And so you try to do that if you can, and we'd love to have you. And we just need to hear from you as soon as you know for certain you're going to be able to come, so we can take care of the accommodations for you. Amen. All right, I want you to take your Bibles tonight. Turn to Revelation chapter number 2. Revelation chapter number 2. I want to read just a few verses here and give you what's on our heart tonight. Amen. I've enjoyed being here this week and appreciate the hospitality and the food and the fellowship all the folks have done and given. And I want to thank you, church. You're so good to us. And I believe we'll finish up our part here Thursday night this year, and then may try to go up to the fellowship Friday night from here, and then on from there and going home. So we just in case I don't get to mention it or forget about it, thank you so much. It's just a great time, and I told you it'd be over with just like that, and here we are, just about 2 days left, and we're done. Amen. On our part, I hope it's been a help to you in some way. Amen. Revelation chapter 2, stand with me if you're able tonight. Revelation chapter number 2. And we're going to just begin reading here about verse number 8. Revelation chapter 2. And look with me, please, at verse number 8. The Bible says, "And unto the angel, the church in Smyrna, write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Amen. Father, we love you tonight. Yes. Thank you for the precious souls that have already stirred our hearts. Now I ask you, Lord, for a little while to help us, God, just to say exactly what you'd have us to say. No more, no less. Lord, help the people of God tonight. Speak through us, and God, use us, Lord. May they see Jesus, Lord. Highly exalted. I pray, Father, Lord, you'd help, this church, help this pastor. And, Lord, I know we're living in the last days, in perilous times, in dangerous days. But, Lord, you said it'd be that way, and we need to expect it, God. So stir our hearts. Get us ready and prepare us, Lord. And we'll love you for it. Have your way in everything that's done.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
And, Lord, we give you the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen
and amen. Thank you. You can be seated tonight. Here we just a few minutes going to look at this church, Smyrna.
Yeah.
This church is one of the churches that he never rebuked. He never told them to repent for anything. But he did tell them this. He said there's going to be some suffering in your church.
Right.
Amen. And not only that, matter of fact, in verse number 10, he says to him, he said, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. He didn't say, you know, you might do some suffering.
Yeah, that's right.
He said in no uncertain terms, you're going to suffer.
Yeah.
Amen. Matter of fact, if you're going to reign with him, you're going to have to suffer with him. And it's going to take some suffering, but... he says here also, he says, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. Ye shall have tribulation. He didn't say you might have. He said, listen, guys, number one, you're going to suffer.
Yeah.
Number two, you will have tribulation. He made a promise of that. And then he said, if that ain't enough, you're going to die that way.
Right.
He said, be thou faithful unto death.
Amen.
He said, you're not going to escape it. You're not going to get out of it.
Right.
You're going to have troubles in this life.
Right.
And he was very clear with this church about that. He let them know. I've said this before, maybe said it here. Job said something to the effect, if you got dust in your house and you got weeds in your yard,
Yeah. You're
going to have trouble in your life. Amen?
Amen.
And brother, that's the way it is. Amen? God said we're going to have trouble in this life. Amen? And brother, you can mark it down. And listen, it's one thing to tell somebody, guys, you're going to have some trouble in your life. But it's another thing to come up to you and say, brother, at 4 o'clock this afternoon, your trouble's going to start. Amen? At 6 o'clock in the morning, you're going to have trials like you've never had before. They're going to start, and they're not going to let up until you're dead. Amen? I don't know about you, but that would stir me a little bit. I'm glad God don't let us know everything. Amen? I'm glad we can't see the future. If you could see some of the things that's going on here tonight, right now, I tell you, you'd probably shoot yourself. Amen? We couldn't handle it. We couldn't handle the future and some of the things that may take place. Amen. But you know what? You know what's wrong with us? We've not had to suffer much. We don't understand suffering. We can't compare ourselves. I don't know if you know this or not. Can I help you for a minute? There's churches, underground churches, all over this world right now tonight that are suffering for the cause of Jesus Christ. There's Christians having their heads cut off. Women with babies being ripped up, amen. I'm talking about right now in this world. Try to tell them the tribulation hadn't started.
Yeah.
Everybody all right?
Yeah.
You go some of these countries where majority is Muslim, or
yeah.
You understand
yeah.
what I'm saying? And people are dying right now. They're suffering right now. They're going through hell and back right now for the cause of Jesus Christ
Yeah. And
for the word of their testimony. Do you hear what I'm saying? People are suffering, amen. Everywhere you look, you see, our problem is we've never had it bad. We're truly like the Laodicean church. We think we have everything. We think we have need of nothing. And James said, if you got gold on your hand, you're rich. Amen.
Yeah,
and brother, all we know is we're spoiled. We've had everything for so long, so much, we don't need anything. We think we don't need God. And we're the worst of them all. Brother, I'm telling you right now, tonight, right now, this moment, people are being martyred for the name of Jesus. Right now around the world, they're being hung. They're being put in cages and dropping in water, amen, and drowning. And they're being set afire and burned alive, amen. Are you hear what I'm saying? That martyrdom didn't quit when Jesus died, amen. I'm telling you, Christians all over the world are being persecuted. People, even folks that name the name of Christian, just that don't even know Jesus, are being murdered because of the name of Jesus. Hello? All over the world, different places right now, just this moment, folks are dying for the name of Jesus. Everybody all right? You understand what I'm saying? He said, he told them, you're going to have it, amen. It's going to take place, and it may even take you to your deathbed. This, I want to show you something. We're going to use some scripture, so get your Bible open. I want to show you something tonight. This word, Smyrna, if you take away the first and the last of it, there's a little word in the middle of it. It's called myrrh. Everybody with me? And that word myrrh, it's like a gum resin off of a certain kind of a tree. And the truth of the matter is, it has uses. And I want to just show you, we're going to look real quick. I'm going to show you every use for it in the Word of God. And then we'll try to apply it and see how it applies to our day. Can we do that? I want you to look at it with me, please. But this, it's amazing about this gum, this resin. The more you crush it, the sweeter it smells. It's a bitter herb. A bitter gum, but the more it's crushed, the more it's beaten, the better the fragrance comes out. Amen. Look with me, please. We got to hurry. Look at Psalms 45, Psalms chapter number 45, and let's just see what God says about it. Amen. Talking about myrrh. Amen. Psalms chapter number 45, and look with me, please, at verse number 8. The Bible says, all thy garments smell of what? Myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. The first use, it's used as a perfume. It's mixed with other fragrances and used to perfume the body. Amen. Everybody all right? Let's hurry. Look at Exodus chapter 30, please. Exodus chapter number 30. It's used as a perfume. Amen. Exodus chapter number 30. Look with me, please, at verse number 22. The Bible says this. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure what? Myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much. Even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of oil, olive, and hin. Thou shalt make it an oil, watch, an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be an holy anointing oil. Amen. I said the first use of it, it's mixed and used as a perfume. Amen. And then we see here in Exodus 30, it's used as a holy anointing oil. When they anointed the priest, it was used as an anointing oil. Amen. Everybody all right? Look at Esther chapter number 2. Esther chapter number 2, please. And I'm trying to hurry. Everybody all right? Yeah. Esther chapter number 2. That's right after Nehemiah. Esther chapter number 2. And look when he pleads at verse number 12. Esther chapter 2 and verse number 12. The Bible says, "Now when every maid's turn was come to go in to King Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months according to the manner of the women, for so were the days of their purification accomplished, to wit, 6 months with oil of myrrh." See that? "And 6 months with sweet odors and with other things for the purification of the women. Then thus came every maiden of the king, whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house." Amen. So you see, not only is it used as a perfume here, not only is it used as holy anointing oil, but it's used for the purification of women before they marry.
Uh-huh.
Everybody all right?
Yeah.
I'm just showing you the uses. We're not preaching yet. Stay with me. Amen. And then, if you will, go with me to John chapter 19. John chapter number 19. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John chapter number 19. And look with me, please, at verse number 38. John 19 and verse number 38. Bible says, John 19:38, "And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being the disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body." Watch. The what?
The body.
The body. Remember I told you last night, there ain't no soul to remove. No spirit to take. All he's getting is the shell.
Right.
All he's getting is the body. So much for the swoon theory.
Yeah.
Look, take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night. There's your Nick at night. Amen. And brought a mixture, watch, of what? Myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. Amen. I said the first thing it was used for was to be a perfume. Amen. And next they would use it in the holy anointing oil.
Yeah.
In anointing the priest. Amen. And then in Esther, it's for the purification of a woman before she's married. Everybody all right? But here in John, it's used as an embalming agent. It's used to make the dead smell sweet. Isn't that right? All right, now, look, you got to get that meaning. You got to understand that. What's the first one? Purification. Perfume, I'm sorry. It's for perfume, right? What's the second one? It's a holy anointing oil. Isn't that right? What's the third one? Purify the women before what? Before they're married. And then finally, it's used for what? Embalming agent. Amen? It was to embalm the body of a dead person. They used that on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what does that mean to us? How can that apply to us? I'm glad you asked. Can I show you something in the Word of God? Can I help you for a minute? Look at 2 Corinthians, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, please. Everybody all right? I'm not going to scream at you tonight. I'm going to just teach you for a minute. Amen. 2 Corinthians. Look with me, please. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. My Bible's tearing up. Please forgive me. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Look with me, please. Look at verse number 14. Amen. 2 Corinthians 2:14. The Bible says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place, for we are unto God." Watch now, "for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ."
Amen.
in them that are saved and in them that perish.
Right.
To the one we are the savior of death unto death, and to the other a savior of life unto life. And who is sufficient for such, who is sufficient for these things? Amen. Paul says, in your time of suffering, in your time of trials, in your time of troubles, when you're going through, and brother, it's hurting, and you just seem like it's never letting up, and you feel like you just can't take anymore. He said, if you'll take it with the right attitude, if you'll do it with joy in your heart, if you'll do it with the right spirit, hey, you may not like it, but I'm telling you, God's going to lean over it. Man, that smells good right there. I like that, amen. Boy, that's a sweet smell to God. I'm telling you, it'll be a sweet smell in the nostrils of God when you suffer with the right attitude, amen. Not only that, others will see it. Others can't help but notice. Others will realize there's something different about him. I don't know what it is, but I never seen anybody go through it like that. I never seen anybody put up with it. I'm telling you something. Hey, what are you saying, preacher? I'm telling you, if all you ever do is murmur, gripe, complain, backbite, backstab, sass, amen. I'm telling you, it's rotten to God. It's a stink in his nostrils. God don't want to hear it. He killed a lot of the Israelites just for murmuring, amen. God said, hey, can I tell you, are you listening?
Amen.
God said, listen, I'm trying to warn you. Trouble's coming.
Right.
Trials are going to come. Devil's going to put some of you in prison. He's going to take your bondage. You're going to be in a mess. And some of you are going to die.
All right.
That's what he's telling them. Isn't that what we read? He said, look, be faithful unto death.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a crown of life. But it ain't just about hereafter. It's about here now.
Right.
It's about what God think of it now. No matter what they think about you, who cares what they think about you? What do they think about him?
Right.
How's God accepted? Amen. Yeah. I'm telling you, if you'll accept the suffering, if you'll take the troubles and do it with the right spirit and the right attitude. Oh, I like that. Boy, they're doing good. Man, that's all right.
Yeah.
That's my boy right there. That's my girl right there.
Yeah.
Nah, I tell you what, they're my children, amen.
That's it, bro.
You know what else it'll do? It'll cause others to want what you got. Everybody all right? You say, why? You know what that is? It's a perfume to God.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Now, fellas, listen to me. You got to admit, don't you like it every once in a while?
Amen.
When your wife puts on a little of that smelling sauce?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it beats cabbage past kids and stuff, amen.
Yeah.
Boy, she's wearing Days of Thunder. I don't know what the name of them are, amen. That's sweet Adeline. That's good right there.
Yeah.
I like that, amen. I'm telling you, hey, I like it. I like it when I've been sweating and working all day and out in the yard plowing or doing something. Come in the house and boy, there's a sweet aroma in there.
Yeah.
Feel like I just woke up a little bit, amen.
Yeah.
My wife's been smelling good for me, amen.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what God wants from you?
Yeah.
God wants you to take that suffering. God wants you to accept it, amen.
Yep.
God wants you to go through it with the right attitude. Don't get mad and kick and scream every time trouble comes. Well, I can't believe that light's red again. That ain't trouble. If that hinders you, you're going to have problems when real trouble comes. Everybody all right? I'm telling you, folks, we if we'll just accept it, if we'll take it, listen, God said when you're being persecuted for the cause of Jesus Christ, you are not to fight back.
Right.
Now, when it's other things, that's a different story.
Yeah, right.
But when it's for the cause of Christ, you're to accept it.
Amen.
Come on, I'm trying to help you.
Amen.
And God said when you do, Oh, that's a good perfume right there. I like it right there. Amen. Can I show you another one real quick? Can I help you? Amen. I said it's a perfume in the nostrils of God, and it cannot go unnoticed by others. Everybody all right? Amen. 2 Corinthians, while we're here, look at chapter 1. Amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse number 20, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen. Unto the glory of God, watch, by us. Now He which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. Amen. Who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. You see that thing? I'm telling you, listen to me. That anointing that was used for the priest's office, listen. He's not separating that thing. He's not saying that's just for you that are called, especially to preach the Word of God. But if you're saved by the grace of God, you've been called to preach the Word. Amen. If you're saved by grace, you are a preacher. And brother, that's, you have been anointed by God to preach the Word of God. Amen. And brother, in that anointing, if you'll accept it with myrrh, if you'll accept it with sorrow, if you'll accept it with suffering, amen. I'm telling you, it's for the benefit of others, amen. This thing ain't just about you. It's about others. No man lives himself or dies himself. Amen. This myrrh, if you'll enter by myrrh into the priesthood for others, the more it's crushed, the more it's beaten, the better the smell.
Yeah. Amen.
Come on, is everybody all right? I'm just trying to help you. I'm telling you, Paul said, God has set you aside. If you're saved, God set you aside to be a priest to others.
Yeah.
Is that all right? And brother, and listen, and you have the anointing of God. When you get saved, you get that anointing of God that you may, and you enter it with myrrh, bitterness. Why, preacher? And the more you're crushed, the more you beat down, the more you suffer. And brother, you know what you're doing? You're doing it for somebody else. You're not doing it for yourself. It's not for you. Come on, is everybody all right? This is not for you. You're doing it to show somebody else the way. Do you know why? It bothers me. Can I break for a minute? Can I pause just for a minute? It bothers me when this crowd jumps up Sunday morning, Sunday night, and they're always banging this and banging that, shooting this and shooting. Hey, they get up and tell you, bless God, if you've been double married, you bring that paper back down here and give it back to God. You go sit on a shelf, God can't use you. And it's funny to me, they've never experienced. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't even know what the Bible says about it. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, I'm not for divorce, but I'm telling you, it's a reality and it happens with people, amen. And brother, if you have to face it, some of these had to go through it, it's for the benefit of others, amen. So you can help them.
Right.
You know why we have to face sorrow? Because others are coming behind us. You know why we have to go through tribulation? Because somebody's coming behind us. And they're going to face it. And you can help them get through it. I don't know if you know this or not. Let me just remind you something. Somebody helped you. Somebody came to you. Somebody rescued you. Somebody got you through that ordeal. Amen. Your life is about others. It's not about you. It's about, what are you going to do when that youngin comes home and their world's turned upside down? You can sit down with them and say, I sat where they sat. I've been there, and I'll help you through this, honey. I'll help you. We'll work it out. God will show us the way.
Amen.
Let me show you what He did for me.
Yeah, that's good.
Hello?
Amen.
I said, God, use it so you can be a sweet smell to Him.
Amen.
Number two, He uses it to anoint you. So that you can be a priest for others.
Amen.
You can be a help to others. You know what the Bible says? When them disciples got messed up in that storm, Bible says in Mark 4, they were also other little ships with Him.
That's it. Amen.
That's it.
It's about others.
Yeah.
You know, one trait, one absolute sure trait that we're living in the last days.
Amen.
Is selfishness.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
Self-love, self-interest. Come on, I'm just trying to help you. Amen. We was walking in a store this morning. I ain't going to tell you where we was at. But we was walking in a store, and the preacher and his wife, and picking up some things. And I walked over and I started to shout at his wife and tell her something, but I never said nothing. But I thought there were fishing poles. I thought they was poles, but the reel was on the wrong end. I said, that's supposed to be a fishing pole, and that's not a reel. What is that? And then I looked at the bottom, there's a tag, it said, for selfies. And you know what I realized it was? It's so you can take your cell phone, your cell phone, and stick it on that stick there. They got a place made for it.
Yeah.
Y'all didn't know this, did you?
Yeah.
How many of you know about the selfie stick?
Yeah. Yeah.
Some of you's lying like a rug. Because you know I was fixing to get you, didn't you?
Yeah.
And that's so you can hold that wand up in the air.
Yeah. Look at me. Go ahead. Go ahead, preacher. Yeah. All right.
And take a self-portrait. Can I ask you a question? I told somebody today, I'm from UCLA. The upper corner of lower Alabama. Amen? And I don't know everything. But can I ask you something? Why would you do that? Why in the world would anybody in their right mind want to take a glamour shot of their self? You know what? It's obvious you don't see what we see. You ever met somebody, you older folks, you ever walked and met somebody you went to school with? And then you walk away with your spouse and say, can you believe how much they've changed?
Oh, man.
I cannot believe how old they look. Did you see the wrinkles on her? Listen to me. Look at me. Look in my good eye. And what you don't realize is they're saying the same thing about you.
Amen.
I said it's about others. Amen? Everybody all right?
Amen.
That anointing was for the priest that went in for others.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, listen to me. You want to know how your marriage will work? Can I help you?
Go ahead,
bro. If you got in that marriage for what you could get out of it, I promise you, it will not last.
Right.
Mark it down.
Right.
If you married her, if you married him because of what you want to do for him or her, it'll work.
Amen.
God set it up that way.
Right.
It's about others.
Right.
Other people are hurting. Mm-hmm. Other people are struggling. Other people have sorrow. God left you here to help them.
Right.
Come on, is everybody all right?
Yeah.
Well, moving right along. Let's go on here. Amen. Look at 1 Peter, please, chapter 4. Everybody all right?
Amen.
1 Peter chapter number 4. Look with me, please. 1 Peter chapter number 4. Amen. Now, well, you know what the third one was for? The third one was for the purification of a woman before what? Before marriage. In 1 Peter chapter 4. Look with me, please, at verse number 12. Watch. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Amen. But rejoice, insomuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Amen. You know what? It'd be something if you realized how close we were to our wedding date. Do you realize, church, look at me. Do you realize you're about to be espoused and married to Jesus Christ? Do you realize there's fixing to be a wedding? Do you realize that God wants you to get ready and get prepared? Do you know what they did in the book of Esther? They started as much as 12 months in advance purifying themselves for that day. Amen. Here it is, 9 months to go, and we're going to be marrying the King just 9 months from now. And here comes a little brokenness. Here comes a little suffering. Then we look again, and it's just 7 months. In 7 months, we're going to be married to the King. There comes a little heartache. There comes a little trouble. There comes some trials. Boy, I don't know if I can get through this, God. I don't know if I can handle this. Lord, I don't know what to do. I'm in a mess. How can I get out of this? Oh, you're all right. I'm just getting you purified for the wedding.
Amen.
Amen. Look at you. And calendaring 4 months left. Man, in just 4 months, I'm going to marry the King. In just 4 months, we're going in. We're going to have a greatest wedding. Man, it's going to be a tremendous thing. And you know what? In just 4 months, but out, hey, here we are 4 months out, and hell breaks loose.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Say, what is that, preacher? Myrrh being crushed. Suffering for the cause of Christ. Trials coming you didn't expect. Storms blew in. Wow, we're 30 days out. But it seems like it just won't quit. It seemed like everything I touch just falls apart. It seemed like my life is ruined. Look at me. But you don't realize how close you are.
Amen.
We're just about, they're already laying out the wedding garment. We're fixing to put it on. Listen. When you walk in that day, when you see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, don't you want Him to be able to look at you and say, wow,
amen,
the bride hath made herself ready.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Why? How? Through myrrh. Through bitterness. Through suffering. Bitter days and bitter nights. Tears and trials. And I'm ready to marry Him. Prepared myself. Is everybody all right?
Amen.
Folks, I'm telling you, we're not going to reign with Him.
You're right.
If we're not willing to suffer with Him.
Amen.
There's some things you're going to have to accept. See, here's the problem. This thing is so hard. Because of all the preaching today that's telling you it's going to be a rose garden. You're going to have prosperity. You're going to have money in the bank. What good is that? You're going to leave. What are you storing up and hoarding up for? You know what you need to do? You need to be preparing yourself. You need to be getting ready to meet the King. You know, do you know why your pastor goes through all the things he goes through you with? You know why he teaches you what he does? He's trying to prepare you and get you ready, a chaste virgin, to meet Jesus, your King. That's what it's for. And then let me give you one more. Can I give you one more? Look at Matthew chapter 10, please. Matthew chapter number 10. Matthew chapter number 10. Matthew chapter number 10, look at verse number 28. The Bible says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Amen? What are you saying, preacher? Listen, you know what it'll do? You know what that myrrh's for? It's to give you a testimony after you're dead.
Amen.
Everybody all right?
Amen.
The Bible said about Abel, he being dead, yet speaketh. Listen, you're going to speak to people in this life after you're gone.
Amen.
Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Listen, do you realize people are still being saved today over the airways of the preaching of Lester Roloff?
Amen.
Amen.
He's been dead for years.
Yeah, right.
But watch, he took that myrrh and it was crushed while he was living. And he was able to leave a testimony after he was dead. I don't remember if it was John Bunyan in prison for all those years. It was his wife or his daughter, one, I can't remember which it was, came and begged for his release. Some of you guys probably know the story better than I do. And they told her, they said, "Look, all he's got to do is just quit preaching. Don't say the name of Jesus. Don't preach Jesus. And we'll let him out today. He can go home today. Be with you for lunch." Said she lifted up her apron. She said, "You might as well just cut his head off and roll it in my apron. Put it right there. Because he's not going to quit preaching the gospel." And he sat in that prison house and wrote Pilgrim's Progress. One of the greatest books, greatest reads outside the Word of God you'll ever read.
Amen.
You listen to me? After they're dead. I know there'll be tapes, CDs,
Amen.
DVDs, VCRs all over the world. I hope.
Right.
Preaching. By Pastor Coley, Mercy Bible Baptist Church. Amen? I want people to know. I want my children to walk by that casket and look down at me and say, "There lies a man of God."
Amen.
My daddy was a preacher. He knew God. He walked with God. I'm afraid to face God with it, but I hope they'll say it. Amen.
Amen.
It's going to take some myrrh.
Amen.
Amen.
That church name was Smyrna. Because the middle of it was filled with myrrh.
Right.
And brother, there's going to be some suffering if we're going to reign with Jesus.
Amen.
There's going to be some heartaches. How are you going to help anybody if you can't help yourself? Hey, listen. If you're going to be a priest and win others to Jesus Christ, how are you going to do that if you're not prepared to do it? If you've never been anointed from God, you need to be saved yourself, some of you. Come in here and go through the motions and the form of godliness and play church. Never know who Jesus is. Are you all right? You hear what I'm saying? Going through the motions. You think, oh, I got mama fooled. Well, that, what is that? Well, the preacher don't know. Well, that ain't no big thing. But you ain't going to fool God. You're not going to fool Jesus Christ. And I promise you this, you can mark it down. That rapture comes, it's going to settle it. And ain't nobody going to wonder anymore about you. We'll all know.
Yep.
Amen. Would you stand with me, please?